If you would turn now to Leviticus chapter 20. Reading verses 9 to 21. That begins on page 98. Page 98, Leviticus chapter 20, verses 9 to 21. And if you would hold your place there and turn also to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. On page 7. Reading verses 18 through 29. Page 7, Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 through 29. This is the word of the Lord. The sons of Noah, who went forth from the ark, were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these the people of the whole earth were dispersed. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine, and became drunk, and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 9 through 21. For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. If a man lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood is upon them. If a man lies with a male, as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man takes a woman and her mother also, it is depravity. He and they shall be burned with fire, that there may be no depravity among you. If a man lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approaches any animal and lies with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man takes his sister, a daughter of his father, or a daughter of his mother, and sees her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is a disgrace, and they shall be cut off in the sight of the children of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness, and he shall bear his iniquity. If a man lies with a woman during her menstrual period and uncovers her nakedness, he has made naked her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or of your father's sister, for that is to make naked one's relative. they shall bear their iniquity. If a man lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. If a man takes his brother's wife, it is impurity. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. This is the word of the Lord. One of the difficulties in reading Leviticus is distinguishing between what is moral and what is ceremonial. Distinguishing between the moral law and the ceremonial law. When we speak of the moral law, we are speaking of that perfect rule of righteousness summarized for us in the Ten Commandments that forever binds all. That is, that law, that rule that is binding upon us from the beginning of the world to its end. That is binding upon us, not only in this world, but also in that world which is to come. The command to worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Spirit. That command belongs to the moral law. It is to be kept throughout the ages of this world, and through the unending ages of the world to come. But the ceremonial law refers to those laws which God gave to Israel under the Old Covenant for a time. For example, the laws concerning the tabernacle, laws concerning its service, laws concerning its priesthood, laws concerning food, laws concerning festivals. All of these laws prefigured Christ. And so, they were abrogated with his coming. They came to an end upon his resurrection from the dead. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The distinction between the moral law and the ceremonial law, it is helpful to us, especially when we are considering whether a particular law given under the Old Covenant is still to be kept under the New Covenant. If that law was not only to be kept by the people of God under the Old Covenant, but is also to be kept by the people of God under the New Covenant. The difficulty lies in the fact that Leviticus does not make this distinction for us. In Leviticus, the moral and the ceremonial are bound together. In Leviticus chapter 20, We have laws that are of a moral nature. Laws concerning adultery. Laws concerning incest. Laws concerning homosexuality. Laws concerning bestiality. Adultery is a sin in every age. Incest is a sin in every age. Homosexuality is a sin in every age. Bestiality is a sin in every age. These are all kinds of sexual immorality, forbidden in the Old Testament and forbidden in the New Testament. Under the Old Covenant, those who committed such things were to be put to death or cut off from the people of God. And under the New Covenant, those who commit such things and refuse to repent of them, they are to be put outside the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn, that him who has done this be removed from among you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul refers to a law that is given to us in Leviticus chapter 20. In Leviticus chapter 20, we have laws that are clearly of a moral nature. But are they all of a moral nature? What about verse 18? If a man lies with a woman during her menstrual period and uncovers her nakedness, he has made naked her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Is the prohibition against a husband lying with his wife during her menstrual period of the same moral nature, of the same moral status as the prohibitions against adultery, incest, homosexuality, and bestiality? We are inclined to say no. But again, these laws are bound together in Leviticus. And so we ought to have a good reason for why we would say no. We ought to have a good reason for categorizing this law as ceremonial, while we categorize other laws as moral, especially when we find this law in the midst of laws that are moral. Now, we have already worked through this question to some extent in Leviticus chapter 15. And there we saw that a woman's flow of blood renders her not immoral, but unclean. In the same way that leprosy rendered someone unclean, or the touching of an animal that had been declared unclean rendered someone unclean. In that same way, a woman's flow of blood rendered her unclean. These laws were bound together with the presence of the tabernacle in the midst of God's people. For you could not approach the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, in a state of uncleanness. But when Christ came, when Christ tabernacled among us, what happened? A leper approaches him. a leper is touched by him. And that leper is cleansed of his leprosy. A woman with a discharge touches him, and she is healed of her discharge. The unclean, they approached the true and greater tabernacle, something which they were unable to do under the old covenant, but something which they are now able to do in Christ. As Christ declared all foods clean, he was abrogating the distinction between clean and unclean, as written in Leviticus. As Christ declared all foods clean, so also a leper is now no longer unclean. So also a woman in her menstrual period is now no longer unclean. These distinctions made under the old covenant, they do not hold under the new covenant. And so the laws related to these distinctions between what is clean and what is unclean, the laws related to these distinctions given under the old covenant, no longer bind us under the new covenant. In contrast, those laws concerning whom we may marry, those laws concerning with whom we may have sexual relations, they belong to the moral order not only of the Old Covenant, but they belong to the moral order of this world, which God established at its creation. This is how we are able to distinguish between what is moral in Leviticus and what is ceremonial. What continues to be binding upon us, and what no longer continues to be binding upon us. But even as we consider these things, we do not want to miss how Leviticus chapter 20 relates to the story of Scripture. Leviticus chapter 20 certainly concerns the ethic of the people of God. It certainly speaks to how the people of God are to live. But in giving our attention to those things, which is good and right, we do not want to miss how Leviticus chapter 20, how these commands relate to the story of Scripture, to the unfolding purpose of God in history, which He has revealed at last to us in Jesus Christ. In Scripture, the woman is the one from whom the Christ comes. Christ is revealed to us in Genesis chapter 3 as what? As the offspring of the woman. And in Leviticus, the woman is a picture of the tabernacle. As we considered in Leviticus chapter 15, her womb is symbolic of the most holy place. A husband's relation to his wife, it reflected the priest's relation to the tabernacle. as the high priest could not enter the most holy place of the tabernacle until after the shedding of blood, so also a husband could not approach his wife until the flow of her blood had ceased. In Leviticus chapter 20, to do so was to uncover her fountain. Before the fall, the womb was a fountain of life. The womb was only a place of life. But after the fall, the womb became also a place of death. The flow of a woman's blood is a reminder of death, a reminder of the death that is now required if we are to have life. Of the blood that must be shed if we are to live. In the Old Testament, for a man to enter his wife during her menstrual period, it would have been like the high priest entering the most holy place without the shedding of blood. It would have been a denial of the need for redemption. It would have been a denial of the need for the removal of sin. And its result would not be life, but death. The prohibition of Leviticus chapter 20, verse 18, was given as a sign to the people of their hope in the Christ to come. That one day the fountain of death would become the fountain of life. The fulfillment of the promise in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, on that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. To cleanse them from sin and menstrual impurity. In Scripture, the woman is described as a fountain. She is not the only one described this way. In Scripture, the Lord Himself is described as a fountain. Psalm 36, verse 9. With you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. These images in Scripture of the woman as a fountain of the Lord as a fountain. They are brought together at the end of Scripture. In Revelation chapter 22, where the church, the bride of Christ, the woman of the Lamb, where she is revealed as the most holy place of God, in which is the throne of God, and from which flows the river of the water of life. In Christ, the fountain of blood becomes the fountain of water. In Christ, the fountain of death becomes the fountain of life. This is why in Christ, the barren woman is able to rejoice. This is the hope of Leviticus chapter 20. And so Israel's protection of marriage Israel's protection of the marriage bed its protection of women its protection of wives was a reflection of this hope. It was part of their being holy. Part of their being set apart to the Lord. As it was a rejection of the practices of the nation whom God drove out before them. The things which are prohibited in Leviticus chapter 20 are things which were tolerated by the Canaanites. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 23. You shall not walk in the customs of the nation that I am driving out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I detested them. In Scripture, the Canaanites are named after Canaan, the son of Ham, the son of Noah. In Leviticus chapter 20, it is bound with Genesis chapter 9, which first mentions to us Canaan. Genesis chapter 9 and Leviticus chapter 20 are the only two places in all of Scripture where we read the phrase, his father's nakedness. Genesis chapter 9, verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11, if a man lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness. The relationship between Genesis chapter 9 and Leviticus chapter 20 is at the very least suggestive of what Ham actually did to his father. In Leviticus chapter 20, to see one's nakedness is to have sexual relations with that one. Verse 17, if a man takes his sister and sees her nakedness, it is a disgrace. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. And so we might then understand Genesis chapter 9 to be saying, as some do, that Ham violated his father. And seeing his father's nakedness, he sodomized his father. But Leviticus chapter 20 would actually lead us to a different conclusion. For in Leviticus chapter 20, a father's nakedness is not referring to himself or to his own nakedness, but to his wife. A married man's nakedness is his wife. Reading Genesis chapter 9 and Leviticus chapter 20 together, we're invited to understand Ham's transgression as having lain not with Noah, but with Noah's wife, with Ham's mother. The cursing of Ham then is not because Ham embarrassed his father, but because he violated the covenant between husband and wife. The covenant between father and son. The covenant between mother and child. The perversion of Canaan in Leviticus has its source in the perversion of Ham in Genesis. It is a perversion from which you have been delivered in Christ. You belong to Christ. You are His bride. You are not the children of Ham. You are not the children of Canaan. So do not act like them. You are the children of the Lord. You are to be like He is. In Christ, a fountain has been opened for you. Your blood was upon Him, that He might cleanse you. You belong to Him. You are His bride. In Him you are clean. In Him you are holy. In Him you are covered. Do not then uncover His nakedness by giving yourselves to another. Keep yourselves covered. Keep yourselves pure. Be holy as He is holy. Amen. Let us pray.